okay, I'm no love expert. I'm not a troll from Frozen. I'm no love expert, but I am managing my way through these relationships. I have had such a great example of my parents who have been married for nearly 40 years. I will say that the level of consideration and patience that they have for each other is what makes their partnership work. Also, they are extremely affirming of each other in front of other people, always honoring each other. And I think that that's a huge deal. My dad is constantly complimenting my mom in front of anyone and everyone and always letting the world know that that is his queen. And my mom is always doing things in her like love language, which is acts of service. And just like those things weren't just something they did to win each other over 40 years ago. It's something that they still do today. And I think that that is so beautiful.
Sapphics and allies, you're listening to Queer Women Rising. That's women with an X because we are inclusive here. When we hear the stories of queer women who have gone before us, we see evidence that there's nothing we can't do. And yes, we can too. It's time for you to level up in life, in love, and step into your most authentic, abundant reality. You won't be the same after this episode. It's your turn to let go of good for greatness.
Your best life is now loading.
Let's rise.
Let's rise.
Let's rise.
Let's rise.
Let's rise.
Let's rise.
Welcome back to Queer Women Rising. I'm your host, Sophia Splino, and I'm thrilled to be doing an episode like this today. Haven't done one in a while. A raw Q&A, chilling, answering the questions that you've submitted, plus hanging out with my community live on Instagram, answering questions live. And if you're tuning into the show and you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, know that you can come on and hang out with me live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Central Standard Time. Woohoo! So glad to see so many of you here. What a big crowd this morning or this afternoon. Hey. So if you have any questions, drop them in the chat. I'm happy to answer. I'm going to start with some questions that you guys already submitted in my broadcast channel, Sapphic Secrets, our Sapphic Secrets. You can find this. It's like a little walkie-talkie real time. Sometimes you get voice memos from me. Sometimes you get screenshots from me and my team or me and my girlfriend's relationship. Hey. Oh, I love seeing you guys. Good morning. Thank you for the badges. I don't even know what badges are. Every time I'm live, I'm like, what are these things? Anyway, so glad to have you here. So if you have any questions, drop them in the chat. The first question I'm going to answer comes from Deborah HJ74. And she said, what is the best text as a first text to a potential lesbian date when you're messaging them? Okay, first of all, I hope you're messaging them on my lesbian dating platform, the Queer Country Club, because women actually want to write you back and actually build real connections. And it's not like traditional dating app where you can swipe and send wasteful, unfruitful messages. It's all about building a real connection. But Deborah, to answer your question, I would lead with finding something. I'm looking at my laptop for those of you who see me looking down live. I would lean into looking at something on their profile, something either that you have in common with them or that you are genuinely curious about, choosing that thing that's in their bio, and then leading with that and asking them more about it. That is how I would go forward. I wouldn't necessarily make a first comment about their looks or going on a date or asking a silly question or something that really doesn't matter. I would start with picking something on their profile that seems like some mutual ground and start a conversation there. Let's see, we've got some questions here. Oh, I love this. it's a pattern in the queer community. A lot of women are still friends with their exes. Is it normal for your girlfriend? Okay, the first comment was, is it normal for your girlfriend to be best friends with their ex-wife? And then another one of my community members says, yes, it's like a pattern in the queer community. A lot of women are still friends with their exes, myself included. This is such a touchy subject. So I have had exes that I am friends with, and I have exes that I will never be friends with again. And I think every relationship is different, but I think a relationship that ended where there was chemistry, but there was something toxic going on, and there's a reason why that relationship ended, but there was still like a romantic chemistry there when all was said and done, then I would think it would be absolutely inappropriate to still be friends with that ex while having a new partner. But I have had partners who have ex-partners and ex-partners who were in their life for a very long time. I've only dated women, only because I date typically older, I've only dated women who have children, and many of them share those children with past partners. And so it really made sense that they were in communication with their partner, and that's never been ex-partner, and that's never been something that made me jealous. But there's, in every single one of those situations, for every woman that I've dated, there was no like anything that made me jealous about their co-parenting situation, right? So do not let someone tell you that they're being friends with their ex if there is a chemistry there and that's making you uncomfortable. I would reevaluate if your partner respects you. However, it's really important to respect someone when there's a co-parenting situation. Or even my current girlfriend is friends with an ex-girlfriend that she's been friends with for like 20 years. And I know that there's nothing there, and that doesn't bother me in the slightest. I think it depends situation to situation how that relationship ended and if there's current chemistry. If you are feeling uncomfortable, you need to ask yourself, is this you being insecure, or is this your intuition telling you there's chemistry there? That's going to help you determine situation by situation if it's appropriate for your partner to still be friends with their ex. Let's see. How do you keep a relationship for a long time? How do you keep the fire? Okay, so one thing you should know about me is I just came out at age 28, 29. I'm no expert. Okay, I'm no love expert. I'm not a troll from Frozen. I'm no love expert, but I am managing my way through these relationships. And the longest relationship I've ever had in my life is 3 years. So I'm definitely not the one to be asking, how do you keep a relationship lasting for a long time? However, I was in an abusive marriage with a man, and then I was in a very healthy relationship with a man, but then realized I was gay. So both were valid reasons for not continuing those long-term relationships. I cannot wait to be in a long-term relationship with a woman where I can look back and say, oh my God, I'm just so happy that we are at peace with each other and have been in such a healthy relationship for this long. Me and my girlfriend definitely talk about what does it look like to keep the spark alive, to still be loving to each other. And we actually had this conversation last night about how important it is for us to talk gentle to each other. We're both very, very big communicators and have been through therapy and also just personally enjoy personal development. And if you've ever heard of the term gentle parenting, we joke and say we gentle relationship with each other, just because we talk to each other with respect 24/7 and do our very best to assume the best in each other and be kind and be considerate of each other. I think keeping the spark alive is literally just both people in a relationship going, am I still being as considerate of my partner today as I was when I was trying to win my partner? And consideration isn't just like big extravagant things. Consideration could be putting someone's towels out by their bath, or making sure that their water's by the bed, or calling them when you know that they're on their lunch break. Consideration can look so different in different relationships, but that is what I would say will keep it alive. And I have had such a great example of my parents who have been married for nearly 40 years. And I will say that the level of consideration and patience that they have for each other is what makes their partnership work. Also, they are extremely affirming of each other in front of other people, always honoring each other. And I think that that's a huge deal. My dad is constantly complimenting my mom in front of anyone and everyone, and always letting the world know that that is his queen. And my mom is always doing things in her like love language, which is acts of service. And just like those things weren't just something they did to win each other over 40 years ago. It's something that they still do today. And I think that that is so beautiful. Okay, let's see. Scroll through the comments. Tips to get the ball rolling. Like when I feel things are going too slow. Obviously, I want to respect her boundaries, but I feel like we are teetering on the friend zone or relationship. Okay, this is, okay, Caitlin, 27, tips to get the ball rolling. Ooh, that's so good. You know, I'm a very big believer in being straightforward and just saying, hey, I'm really enjoying our communication. I'm really enjoying this, but I would love to know where you want this to go, because I would love to start a relationship with you. Now, there may be people listening to this who's like, that's not my style, that's too traditional, that's too straightforward. Okay, cool, then you do you. But I like to be very, very, very clear. And me and my girlfriend literally built our relationship on a friendship. And I said, like, we're only friends. We're only friends. And we were. And she maintained that boundary and respected me. And then things did shift. So you can start as friends and things go other places, but both parties have to truly agree that, like, even if you would stay friends forever, would you stay just her friend? Like, would that be enough for you? If that wouldn't be enough for you, then you would have to be able to accept that and be willing to let go of the relationship if you felt like you would always have a crush, but they would want to be your friend. If both people can't just agree to be friends, then that's okay. And you can move on. But before you ask that question, you have to ask yourself, will I be able to handle if she responds and says, I do just want to stay friends? And the best thing that could happen is she looks at you and says, oh, I've been wanting to make this official too. Or I was nervous to ask you too. Always think about that. What is the worst that could happen if you put yourself out there fully? The worst that can happen without you putting yourself out there fully is you stay exactly where you are. And to me, the thing that keeps us from getting to where we wanna be is complacency of staying exactly where we are. It's not necessarily going backwards, but it's literally doing the same thing every day. Even if it's uncomfortable, but it's just comfortable enough. So Caitlin, I would challenge you to actually have that conversation with her so you're not betraying yourself and what you actually want out of this relationship, and be brave enough to hear her answer and move on if that's not what she wants. I also am a big believer of going into relationships literally saying what you want, everything. All the dynamics, just lay it on the table. That is why the women inside of Queer Country Club are having success with their communication, because they are able to have a place where it's safe to have those preferences. And the women coming into my lesbian dating platform aren't there to play around. They know they're looking for that lesbian lifetime partnership. And so that's not an awkward conversation. We are all there for that same purpose. And so having these types of conversations aren't even necessary. Stacy says, I'm ready to date. And I find myself attracted to, okay, I see. Okay, Stacy, I don't answer or participate in questions that have to do with seeking a partner of a certain race, anything like that. That's just not how I roll. I believe in having an open heart and not caring about appearances in that way. So sorry, I won't be answering that question. Scorpio Bossy, what if we want to be in a relationship with both a man and a woman? Scorpio Bossy, you do your thing, but on my, like, go for it. Like, whatever you want to do, you do you. I have a very live and let live policy for life. But my lesbian dating platform and the connections that I'm encouraging women to foster are finding their future wife. I actually thought that polyamory might have been for me back when I was dating a man and I didn't want to actually break up with him when I realized I was gay because I had such a deep friendship with him. And the moment that I truly was with a woman, I realized that I wasn't polyamorous. For me personally, I was just gay. And if anyone would have touched that woman, they would have been in big trouble because I wasn't sharing. So for me, I realized that I was not created for, I personally was not created for anything but monogamy. I'm very much love being in possession of my person and I love feeling possessed by my person. So I really can't give you any advice there. But I would tell you that I have coached an incredible polyamory coach in her business and her name is Heidi. And you can look up her and the people that I follow by searching Polly or Heidi. And she's an incredible polyamory coach, but that is not something I can speak to. Gita says, in an age gap relationships, is it okay for your girlfriends during disagreements to constantly bring up the fact that they are older than you? Absolutely not. In fact, that is exploiting a power dynamic that is unhealthy. And when I speak about age gap relationships, which if you followed me for a while, you know that I am totally an age gap girly. My girlfriend is significantly older than me. They always have been. That's just how I am. It's what I'm attracted to. I am a proponent for healthy age gap relationships, meaning two things. There are two healthy individuals that are not going into this relationship with power dynamics and histories of exploiting a younger partner or exploiting an older partner. There are many ways that these relationships can be extremely unhealthy. So that is number one important. And number two, age, actual age, like be of a legal age, but beyond a legal age, it is just known that your brain is not fully developed until your mid to late 20s. So being in a relationship with someone significantly older than you before your mid to late 20s would not be recommended by me at all. It would, you'd be at risk for being exploited and not actually able to even make decisions with a fully formed brain. I mean, you can date, but I wouldn't date someone much, much, much older than you. There's just a significant difference until you hit that mid to late 20s where you're truly fully developed. You know who you are as a human and then you're able to bring that to the table. But I don't know how old you are. With that being said, it's never okay for someone to constantly bring up anything that you can't control, okay? Whether that is your looks, your weight, your age, those sort of things should never consistently, actually probably never even, but especially consistently come up during arguments. That is not constructive communication. Let's see. What is my dating platform's name? My dating platform is called The Queer Country Club. It is application-based only, and it is for queer women. It's filled with primarily lesbians who are seeking their life partner. It is for women who are very serious about settling down. No games, no bullshit. There's no filters. There's no men on the website. Like, this is a very, very strict platform. It is not for everyone. And if you are interested in polyamory, there's plenty of apps for that, but my platform is not for that. If you identify as a man, there's plenty of apps for you. My platform is not that. And if you want to use filters on your profile or in your pictures that you share, there's plenty of platforms for you, but mine is not for that. If you are looking for a serious lifetime partner, and based on what I said, we share those same values, you can DM me the word apply right after this live, and I'll go ahead and get you an application. Okay, Caitlin's 27 says, I'm bold too. I don't want to play guessing games. I want to know what she's doing. Thank you. Oh, you're so welcome. Okay, I'm glad. Just ask her. Yes, just ask her. I love it. I love it. Okay, Bendy says, I'm tired of the games that women play. I like when they say they want a relationship, but they base it around money, and I'm at an age where money doesn't matter as much as romance. Oh my gosh, that's so good. Okay, so Bendy, what I'm hearing you say is you guys have different values, and they might be putting a lot of weight on a value that just doesn't apply to you. And the other day, I got a comment from this girl that was like, oh, if like having a business or being successful is what defines someone liking me or me going onto your dating platform, then I'm out. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's not what successful means. Successful can be that you are a creative person and you are making jewelry and you're an artist. A successful person could be someone who really values their career. A successful person could be someone who is a caretaker for their parents and has devoted their life to making sure that their aging parents are okay. A successful person could look like someone who literally hates their job, but they are going home every single day and building a side hustle. A successful person could be someone who is finishing up their grad degree and reading books, like reading a new book every month. A successful person can look like someone who's never gotten a degree before, but has built an incredible life for themselves. A successful person looks like someone who really, and what I call a high value queer woman, is someone who really enjoys their life, really, really loves their life. They feel very satisfied with who they are. They like look in their purse and they're like, yep, no fucks to give. Like, they're just, they know who they are and what they want. And it has nothing to do with anyone else's values. It has to do with their values. And all of our values look really different. So some people don't even want to be romantic. And then, you know, that wouldn't work out for you, Bendy, because your value is placed on being romantic. So yeah, for me, one of my biggest values is someone who's like very, very, very confident and very, very, very confident in their career. It doesn't mean like anything specific about their career. It doesn't matter about the industry. It doesn't matter about how much money they make, but like the confidence that they have is sexy. And that is very important to me. I don't know. I just think it's hot. Another thing that's a value to me is someone who's very organized in their life. And like when they say they're going to do something, they do it. I don't care if it is the value of, okay, I'm going to color code my closet and they're like, I'm going to do that. But then like the next morning we talk and they're like, oh, I color coded my whole closet. It's blah, blah. Or someone who says, I'm going to work out 5 days a week. It's not about that they actually work out 5 days a week because of the workout. It's because like they followed through on what they said they were going to do for themselves. I think that is incredibly hot. So yeah, all have different values. Lauren says she's 57 years old. Anyone close to that? There's a lot of you older women inside of the Queer Country Club. Lauren, go ahead and DM me, apply. I'd love to have you in. Bindi too. Ooh, Lindsay Barros. How to maintain long distance. This is so good because me and my partner are long distance. I think having open communication is so important, and having little traditions that you do together, things that you can expect, communication that you can expect in your day or in your night from this person, that's important. And beyond just giving each other the updates to your day, setting time to go deep about something, a mutuality about some common value, is super important. So for me and my partner, we'll listen to podcasts on personal development and spirituality and then discuss it with each other. And then when we're together, we actually don't even discuss that stuff because we're just so happy to be together for a few days, and we end up going out to eat and having good drinks and going to the pool and like doing the not spiritual stuff, just hanging out together like it's a vacation. But we're able to have those really deep, soulful conversations when we are apart. So we have like these times that we set aside. Like I know at a certain time in the morning while we're both getting ready, I will call her and we'll have that conversation. And at night before we go to bed, and then any other communication in between are bonuses. So like just setting up those expectations. Another thing is having something to look forward to. So we never end a little trip of seeing each other. We never end that without having another trip already planned. Usually the airline or airfare even booked before the last trip ends, because I feel like by the time you get to the end of seeing each other in person, it can feel a little icky. It can feel like sad. But to know that, okay, we have something to look forward to. There's something booked. There's something we can mutually get excited about, mutually start planning for, making reservations for, that sort of thing. That kind of keeps your heart happy. And then at a certain point in the long distance relationship, having beyond something to look forward to, like a short trip, having a life to look forward to together and having a real end goal together and a real timeline is so important. If you want to like play around and not go anywhere, that's going to look so different than someone like me who is like absolutely ready to settle down. Like I'm not going to entertain a long distance relationship without knowing, okay, I'm going to marry this person. They are going to move here, or I'm going to move there, that sort of thing. So one thing I can tell you, Lindsay, is we not only have like all kinds of trips planned out all the time, even when we were friends, that first trip to like see what the vibe was like. If you haven't listened to our podcast episode that tells how we met, it is a juicy story. You've got to go back to Apple or Spotify podcast and listen to it. But having those trips planned, and now we see each other, and she lives across the world, so we see each other about every 17 to 20 days. And we do like 4 to 5 day spurts. I understand that that is like really expensive, and we really prioritize this for ourselves, and that's like where we choose to spend money. But you could also do it in different ways. You could, you know, see each other every few months for a little bit longer period of time. There's just so many different ways. And then ultimately having that goal together, the dream together, and planning for that together. What is your dream house going to look like? Where is it going to be? Who's going to move for who? Are you going to move to a mutual different location? All those conversations are so important, so you can make sure you're on the same page, because to me, there would be nothing worse than not being on the same page with someone that you wasted your whole life on video calls with, on phone calls with, and not actually living the life in front of you, all for that person not to be taking you as seriously as you were taking it in your head. And that is why having those clarifying conversations are so important. It's so important to have them from day one about hard issues, about all the things people tell you not to talk about, money, politics, religion, all the things. Have those conversations early so you're not wasting time. So important. Kara Balco says, how to approach family who are not accepting. I'm in the best relationship I've ever been in, and she feels the same. Her sister is struggling with it. Well, without going into full disclosure about what I go through, Kara Balco, very similar stories we have. I'm sorry that you are going through this. The one thing that I always come back to, whether it is family, whether it is someone on the internet, whether it is someone in my life in any way, shape, or form who is being, for a lack of better words, just ugly to me. And I know why they're being ugly to me. It's because they don't approve of me, because they actually believe that God created me a way different than I am, when I actually believe that God created me gay. God created me perfect as I am. At the end of the day, and I still do have faith where I communicate with Jesus. So I personally ask to be filled with more God love in my cup. That if I am pressed and bumped and tip over, that love would pour out. A love that is beyond what I'm capable of, because believe me, sometimes I'm pissed and I want to someone because of the atrocious things that I've heard, because of the way that I am still treated differently than other people in my family. That breaks my heart, that it's very convenient to use me and my influence whenever someone in my family wants to, but because I'm gay, then like these things are not good. Like, it's like I'm very hurt by it frequently. So I understand your pain, but what I would say is do your very best to be so ridiculously, radically loving to someone so that they would look at you and go, what is it in her that is not good enough to me? Like, what could I even point out? This relationship is healthy. Kara's so kind, right? Like, that is what you need to think, Kara. You need to be able to show them that there's nothing that makes them superior, because you have just as much kindness in your heart and soul. And you have just as much of a healthy relationship as a heterosexual couple with a healthy relationship. And even when those people, after all that, can't accept it, you just keep being kind, or you set a boundary. And for me, it looks like being kind and simultaneously setting a boundary. There are certain things I just know, like, I'm not going to talk about. And it's just not going to be something that I can change. I actually pray for God to change hearts. I do. I don't know, Kara Balco, if you have faith, but if you do, asking God to give you extra grace for those homophobic little bitches. You know what I mean? Okay. Greetings from Germany. I guess it's not smart for me to join your app from Europe. No! We have European women. Oh my God, last night we had the coolest European women inside Queer Country Club in our live meetup. And we are about to start doing meetups that happen in your time zone as well, because we have a growing community of women from Europe. So no, of course, it'd be absolutely smart to join Queer Country Club. We would love to have you inside, and so would the other women from Europe. We have women from Europe, Canada, I think a few Australians, not many yet, but it's growing. Yeah. Let's see. Flor Deluvia says she's pan, and she finds herself dealing with biphobia, and she doesn't know how to approach this when she is being looked at as a cis woman lecturing a gay woman about queerness. I'm not sure I understand the question, Floor, but I think that experiencing any sort of lack of just consideration and kindness that anyone would give to another lesbian is horrible, and I'm sorry that you experienced that. I know for me and what the lesbians in our community are looking for isn't necessarily someone who has to identify as a lesbian, but it is someone who's very clear about what they want and how they visualize the rest of their life. So you can be anything you want, anything you are. You know, there's women inside who are bi, but they know they don't want to date a man. They're like, I'm not interested. I'm done dating men. I really just want to live and die with a woman. And that is what the women inside of my community are looking for. But of course, like, whatever you are welcome. Oh, Rosa Cook says, thank you for your platform. It's so honest. I love it. Thank you. I love it. Valerie says, she has a spiritual podcast called Spiritual Cardio. That's such a cute name. I love it. I love all the spiritual women in my community. I have had so many women inside of the Queer Country Club share all their experiences with God. We have an area called the Sapphic Sanctuary, and we share all of our very diverse interspiritual reflections, and it's such a beautiful community. So powerful to see other women just connecting to the divine, especially for someone like me who was pretty much told that I couldn't have a relationship with God as a lesbian. And I'm like, well, we're calling bullshit on that. And it's a beautiful community where we do have incredible connections with God and each other. Hey, Paley. See. Haven, hi. Haven was in our community call last night, and her light. It was such an amazing call. It was, you know, I was talking to my girlfriend after the call last night, and I was just being honest. You know, I never know what's gonna happen when we get on a live call. Like, this is live in action, and every single woman that spoke, we feature women inside of the Queer Country Club. We give them a space to speak and share about themselves and what they're looking for. And we have these live virtual meetups, which are really powerful, great way to make connections. And every single woman that spoke, I thought, oh my God, like, how cool and how beautiful is she? Everyone was so different in their own ways, from different continents, different careers, different looks, different vibes. And I could tell you one thing, everyone's looking for the same thing out here, and it is real love. Hold on 1 second. Someone asked if I am seriously religious. Am I joking? I hope the wife you're looking for can be an atheist because I find you very interesting and gorgeous.
Okay, real quick, I need to tell you about Wisp, an online healthcare service that is for the girls, gays, theys, and me. In fact, for 3 years, they have been a part of my daily regimen. I know many of you listening long to create beautiful women-loving women relationships. And that, my dears, begins with excellent kitty care. Like, no offense, I don't know about you, but I personally don't want to be at a kitty cat cafe, if you know what I mean, that doesn't provide the freshest dessert for me to lick. So do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, and keep your kitty cat cafe fresh. With Wisp, everything from the consult to receiving meds is done from the comfort of your phone, and the company is proud of being inclusive, cost-effective, and accessible for everyone. Wisp believes that you know your body better than anyone else, which means no more urgent care visits for issues such as UTIs, yeast infections, or STI treatment. You can save so much time not going to in-person appointments or waiting in line at pharmacies. The free shipping will save you so much time. Or same-day pharmacy pickup can have you feeling better faster. Before Wisp, I was prone to getting BV, but my kitty pH balance stays perfect. Chef's kiss now that I am on a consistent probiotic regimen. Ladies, this is so important. Personally, I subscribe monthly to Wisp Probiotics, Sexy Time Lube, and OMG Cream. It's like female Viagra. I also get D-mannose and boric acid vaginal suppositories as needed, so I'm prepared if something starts to fill off down there. Also, if you're about to meet a new partner from my lesbian dating platform, you definitely want to be tested before sleeping with someone new. You can order discreet online testing from your bed before you jump into bed. Go to the link in the show notes to learn more, or go to hellowisp.com and use my code Sophia for 15% off. That's code Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A, for 15% off all your kitty needs. You're welcome. Okay, back to the show.
Oh my gosh, thank you. I actually have a partner that I'm very serious about right now. But no, I have a relationship with Jesus. I also appreciate the teachings of Buddha. I really love studying Mary Magdalene, and I find God everywhere I go, whether that is the yoga mat, outside, or in an affirming church. I'm very open, and I definitely actually am not afraid to say this. There'd be no way that I could date an atheist, because God is such a big part of my life and a huge value that I hold, and I would be incredibly annoying to an atheist and someone who didn't believe in God, when that's literally how I start my day and everything. Like, we would just annoy each other so much. So wouldn't work out for me. And one thing that I'm really, really proud of, and you can totally be an atheist and join my community, and I'm sure there's other atheists inside. The rules are, you have to be seeking monogamy, you can't identify as a man, and you need to be looking to live and die with a woman and not use edited filtered pictures on your profile. You can be whatever you want to believe. You can, anything like that. That doesn't matter. And I'm sure there's plenty of women who are inside who are atheists, but there are a lot of spiritual lesbians. I think what's most important are your convictions and your values being yours, regardless of if they're different from mine, because you being very bold about your values, divine empress, if you were very boldly an atheist and you, like, you think I'm joking about my faith, right? Like, you would not probably enjoy living with someone like me, right? And if you could just state that on your dating profile, like what you're looking for and who you are, you will attract someone that really aligns with you and your values. And it's okay that my values look different than your values. And I actually have atheist friends that I love so much. So you're absolutely welcome. And anyone's welcome. I don't care what your beliefs are. The point is, I wanted to create a space where it's 2024, but values and mutuality and expectations and honesty isn't canceled. You can really be clear about what you want, who you're looking for, and not walk on eggshells about that inside of the Queer Country Club. Bindi says, I was in a physical and mental abusive relationship, raised in a church family, worked two jobs, raised a daughter by myself, and now I'm ready for a relationship with common values. I really feel you. I feel you so much. I'm sorry you went through all of that, and I pray that your future wife, your right person, is coming to you. Sounds like you're very ready and clear. You know, Lisana says, my wife left me about a month ago, devastated. It's sort of left open because she needs time to figure it out. I'm just really sad because she doesn't want to do her own work beside me. Oh my gosh, that breaks my heart for you. Oh my goodness. I suppose the thing that you can process with your therapist is trying to figure out like what led up to this point, and if that was something that you feel you can contribute to doing better should you have another time around, and if there's things that you feel she could have contributed to doing better if there is another time around. If someone doesn't want to do their work alongside you, typically what I've noticed is it is because one, and again, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a relationship coach, I'm just a little lesbian out here, but one, that person is not interested in you anymore. They're just not. They could be cheating on you, they could not be cheating on you, they could just not be interested. For some reason, they're literally not interested in you anymore. And that could be for bad reasons like I just shared, or it could be for reasons where they've tried to get through to you so hard. And I'm not telling you this is you, but sometimes people are in those relationships where they try so hard. And I know I did this with my last relationship where I tried so hard. And when she finally said she was gonna do the work or whatever, I didn't even believe it anymore because I knew she would like pretend and she would say that. And then she wouldn't do it. And she'd be like, oh, we're going to like do it together, blah, 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 blah. Never once called the therapist because she didn't want the therapist hearing what I was going through with her, right? They want that story to remain a certain way in front of their therapist. So, when someone doesn't want to do the work with you, it is because they're either simply not interested because they're already moving along, or because they have tried. They've tried, and they've been let down, and that was just the last straw. And so maybe there's some in-between reason for you, Lisanna. I'm so sorry that you're going through this because it's painful. Very, very, very painful. Yeah, if you're all in, you do deserve someone who chooses you, and everyone deserves someone who chooses them and is all in. Any relationship that is half-hearted is simply not going to work out forever. I have this written on my wall, wholehearted or not at all. And it is a mantra that I've looked at every day for 2.5 years because I was in relationships with women who wouldn't come out of the closet for me. So looking at wholehearted or not at all helped me to really practice standing up for myself, my worth, and knowing that I wanted someone who would meet me in every way. GJDA says, in my experience, do older women have a harder time showing affection? In my experience, I will make an assumption, for better or worse, come for me, cancel me, I don't care. Yes, older women have a harder time showing affection. Historically, 3 out of the 4 women that I've dated, because they have not done the work on themselves, and their generation was taught to shove things down and shut up. They were taught that showing emotions, talking about things is a sign of weakness. And they were literally modeled unhealthy relationships as they grew up. And then as they got older, talking about things was for what people did on Oprah. It wasn't like a real life thing that people really sat and looked at each other eye to eye, heart to heart, and had these conversations. So yes, I've noticed that older women have a much harder time showing affection. I'm very blessed because that's not an issue at all with my current partner, but this is something that I know is true. Like, they could show it in some ways, but not other ways. And they will tend to show like a lot of affection to their children if they're older and have children. And then you're looking at them being like, why can't you like show me affection at all? Like, why is it hard for you to talk kindly to me? And that has been in two different relationships that I've had with people with children. So I do think that this is common. However, age is not the issue. It is the person who has not done the work. So we're not going to make assumptions about age, but I will say historically that has been my experience 3 out of 4 times. And women who are actively doing the work, whether you are 20 or you are 40 or you are 60, you are preparing yourself for a healthy relationship. And when someone exemplifies that behavior of not being able to be emotional and be vulnerable with you, you have to decide, is that what I want for my life? Because you cannot make someone value transparency, emotional regulation, just conscious communication. You cannot make someone value that unless they decided for themselves that is their path. They are walking on that path and they've already done that work for themselves or are starting on that journey. If you suggest it, they will feel like it's something they have to live up to and it's not really them. And I promise you, it will lead to resentment. So do not continue dating someone who is not meeting you emotionally, first of all. And the women inside of the Queer Country Club, one of the most common things, I swear, out of 20 different women who will get up and share about themselves, 18 lead with, okay? 18 out of 20 will lead with, I'm looking for someone who is emotional and communicates consciously and will bring peace into my life. I've worked to get to a place where all I want is peace in my life. I don't want lesbian drama. I just want peace and commitment and kindness. I don't want someone sleeping outside of my door. I don't want someone banging on my door. I don't want someone cheating on me. I don't want any bullshit. I want total peace. And sadly, queer dating, actually all dating, it doesn't matter if you're gay or straight, is just people don't carry those same values that we have sometimes, and that's okay for them. But as for me and as for my community, what makes someone a high value human is knowing who they are and what they want and how they will treat someone and how they expect to be treated. So when you come inside, you will meet other women who are in your level, in your mindset caliber. And that's what makes the Queer Country Club so different. Oh, okay, I'm looking at a comment from a while back. Valerie says she couldn't date an atheist either since core values wouldn't align. I totally get it. Lisana, who was dealing with the partner but left her and doesn't want to do the work with her, what is the time? Like, what would you... I'd give you suggestions to go to therapy and honestly ask yourself, if you were to do everything that that person wanted, would that be good enough for them? Or if that person would do everything that you wanted, would that be good enough for you? Or is that trust inherently broken? That is what I would get down to the bottom of and ask yourself those questions. Oh my gosh, this breaks my heart. GJDA, she says she was in the hospital and her partner was in the hospital and freaked out when she went to visit her because she told the doctor that she was her partner. That breaks my heart. And I was in a relationship with a woman who was closeted. And I knew that. I knew that if that ever happened and I had to go to the hospital, it wouldn't be good. I would end up feeling exactly like that. And I really pray that you can release yourself from a relationship that's just not giving you the affirmation that you need. Hey, Kirby. Kirby's in Queer Country Club. Kip, please email us at support@sophiaspolino.com. Please. We have not seen your DM. We don't see support DMs here. Email me at support@sophiaspolino.com. We want to take care of you. Oh, I love this. Kip says, when it comes to spirituality, that she tells people in the relationship there's going to be three. First comes creator, then me, then them. And that's so good. Sometimes, like, if I'm ever feeling frustrated in my day and I'm randomly irritated with my girlfriend, even if I don't let her see it, like, I will catch myself just not being as patient or kind. And maybe it doesn't come out of my mouth, but, like, things are in my head and I'm just like, why am I feeling like that? Is because that day I have made my girlfriend God. I am literally looking to her to fulfill a need, and I needed to get, like, my cup filled with my time with God first. So I actually totally get that. Kip, I hope I'm saying your name right. Kip A. Stan, I'm not sure. Okay. Hey, Lo, what's up? Okay. I love it. We have Proud to be Pride saying she's an atheist but respects her future partner's beliefs. I love that. And as long as your future partner, like, their value isn't, oh my God, I have to have someone to match my beliefs, that would be a beautiful relationship. I freaking love it. I'm here for it. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Okay. This was such a fun time. I'm so glad that I was able to give you advice. I will be recording some new podcast episodes with my girlfriend answering your questions. We're so excited to do it. It's a great joy for us. And we were talking the other day where she was saying how, oh, we'll just lay in bed and record it again, because we woke up one morning and we were drinking our little chocolate elements. And we're like, oh my gosh, we should tell everyone how we met. Do you want to record it? And I literally just take out my phone. I have, like, a fancy mic set up and everything, but for these episodes, I just take out my iPhone and I start recording, and I think it's so fun. What would you say to someone who's felt like, I was the chaser and now want to be the one chased? Happy early birthday, Kip A. Stan. Then I think initially starting the relationship with that dynamic where you're not chasing, and you actually share those experiences. Like, in the past, I used to chase partners, and now I'm really wanting to feel desired and just leading with that open communication. Sometimes you make it so complicated, and it doesn't have to be, right? Doesn't have to be at all. Okay, let's see what else. We've got so many. Oh, you're so welcome, Kelly Valentine. She says, thank you for supporting all communities and women. Okay, y'all have an amazing day. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and be looking out for new episodes that drop every single Monday. And when you want to join me live and be able to drop your questions, join me on Wednesdays, 12 p.m. Central Standard Time. And if you know you are looking for the one and you want to live and die with a woman, you're dreaming of your future life together, and you're ready to go deep with somebody, you're ready to commit your life to somebody, if you could only find the right person, and you actually like your life, you're like, I like my life, I just want someone incredible to share it with, then you need to apply for the Queer Country Club, which is my premier lesbian dating platform. And you can apply by visiting the link in the show notes, the link in the bio, or by DMing me. I would love to get you an application right away. See if this is the right fit for you and if we can help you find the one. Because inside of the community, there's matchmaking. There's a lots of community conversations that help you get to know each other. And there's live meetups. So, so incredible. We have two different kinds of live calls. There's live meetups where we get to know each other and feature queer women from around the world who are ready and excited to meet their future wife. And I also host live coaching calls, as well as have guest experts to lead live coaching calls with topics like dating, confidence in dating and mindset, as well as embracing your sexuality and even some sex education, so you can have more depthful intimacy and enjoy sex with your partner and let go of religious trauma, shame, those sort of topics. That is what we will be coaching on inside of our community. If you've listened to this episode and you want more, you would love to find a community of like-minded, growth-minded women beyond just dating. That's who's inside. Queer women from around the world who are just wanting more for themselves. And if, like me, you're from a small town, it's hard enough to see other lesbians in the wild, but making friends, dating can feel intimidating. You don't really know where to start. You might feel like you don't really have any options. And if you haven't found love in your own backyard and you're looking for love in a hookup world, I invite you to apply to my lesbian dating platform, the Queer Country Club, right now. Just DM me the word apply right after this live or as soon as you're done listening to the podcast. Okay, my friends, have an amazing day and let's rise. As queer women, that's women with an X, because of course we are inclusive here. As I was saying, as queer women, we haven't always been lifted up or celebrated. We have often felt left out and put down in places that historically haven't welcomed us. In fact, we have been conditioned by society to be grateful for mere tolerance. My resilient LGBTQ plus IA community, I am talking to you. I'll bet you've recognized the spark that God put in your heart, your unique calling to impact the world in only a way that you can. A business idea, a brand to build, a coaching program to start, the art to create, the song to sing, the book to write, that relationship you long to build. But that little light inside your soul has often been blown out by the people around you, leaving you conditioned to play small and not step into your full potential. You are not alone. And it's never too late to truly live your most authentic dream life. I would know. I came out late in life, nearly 30, a couple years ago, after being bullied for months inside a country club. Right outside of my weights class, I was assaulted by a bigoted woman who couldn't stand my queerness. She physically pushed me, so I had a meeting with management. I told them I didn't feel safe. I brought forth evidence, and guess what? They did nothing. Sadly, this is normal. But in order to create change, we have to be brave enough to be the change ourselves. So I did a thing. I started my own virtual country club for queer women. A safe place for us to create meaningful connections and grow. So if you're looking for a love connection, networking opportunities, or coaching to live your best freedom life, you want to apply to be a part of our incredible community of purpose-driven, passionate queer women. Join Queer Women Rising, the online queer country club for growth-minded women ready to level up in life and love. To apply, DM me the word rising on Instagram at Sophia Spellino or chat me the word rising on sophiaspellino.com. Now, beyond hosting Queer Women Rising, I am a personal brand coach and social media strategist. If you give me a moment to tell you about what I do, I can share how I can help you, just like I've helped many clients before get famous online and make more money. If you're an exhausted coach or service provider ready to scale your business for real, or you're just getting started building your dream brand from scratch, and if you're ready to build your own profitable personal brand, I can show you how in 6 months or less. But why should you take my word for it? Well, I've spent over 10 years in the social media marketing industry, amassing over 400,000 followers across platforms like Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube, as well as hosting a top charting podcast, building a successful service provider business, and coaching powerful women to build purpose-driven, profitable personal brands. Yeah, I have the social media and sales process strategies that can help you finally make the money you deserve. Because I want to help you build your dream business
that gives you time, freedom, and makes real money. So for a limited time, I'm giving away your first steps to go from less than 5K months and advance to 10 to 20K months. Grab my newly revamped profitable personal brand blueprint, my proven framework to build yourself a personal brand that motivates, inspires, and sells so that your business can thrive the way it should. Just go to the link in the show notes. Whether you're a novice at creating or you're feeling stuck, hitting a plateau in your business that once had consistent revenue and need guidance, support, and coaching to get to your next level, I invite you to book a strategy call to speak with either me or my team to see if we'd be the right fit to work with each other inside of the Profitable Personal Brand 6-month coaching program. Mind you, I am extremely selective and this coaching program is not for everyone, and I'm not afraid to say it. I am only taking on serious, purpose-driven, and committed queer women and allies inside of my community. If that's you, book your free strategy call. The link is in the show notes. And if you feel yourself come alive and love listening to Queer Women Rising, please leave me a 5-star rating with a kind review wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to share the show with a powerful woman you know. And remember, when you're called to do something greater in life, love, or business, you will be uncomfortable until you move. So get up and go get what you want. Let's rise. Let's rise.